Now, many of you read Wood's reference to Christ has risen and knew right away that what was being expressed was but an example of what the power guys love are talking at cross purposes. And of Proudhon's point, much referred to here, that it is the misunderstanding of God that has led to the human underclass's false step down into that abyss of calamities, which he has so gallantly exposed through to its bottom, that we would be able to fill it up with good stuff and reach hands across it and pull each other into much overdue, many millennia long overdue hugs. And while we ask today what causes us to see, in a way sudden or creeping, that we belong not to the state, but to the all of it, as the truth is the stuff we're made of, it does not escape us that the question also is, and also then deserves a glance from us, once the outlines of the truth are known, how is it power's weeds keep overcreeping it? It's not as if the gospel's been hidden from view these past two millennia. How is our ascension to truth interrupted or intercepted, if not through the insinuation of doubt into this process by the global statesman? And how is doubt wormed in, if not by agents, in every sense, tools formed for the purpose, in media voices and in people peppered throughout our lives? Which is one of the questions, the question of insinuated doubt, that jumps out at us from both the book being reviewed as it's presented, and the article about it in The New Yorker, which means the question, what is true, is made to loom above them. It's both the question the article leaves us with and the question we ask about Carrère himself. We shall take some time to sort it out. For what is certain is that we're living in a moment when, because of our globally stirred emergent hopes for freedom, and there's no doubt that Prince's energy is no small part of it, the pieces placed in major power propaganda outlets, and The New Yorker definitely is one of them, that relate to the message, we are of one blood, many nations, are not there by happenstance. The article explains that Carrère's book has its origins in his conversion and subsequent crises of religious faith in the 1990s. What shocks him is the extremism of his faith. Quote, by the late 1980s, Wood, the New Yorker writer, writes, Carrère had become depressed and unproductive. I could no longer write, he says. I didn't know how to love. I knew I wasn't particularly likable. Just being me became literally unbearable. Unquote from Mr. Carrère, continuing with Mr. Wood. Influenced by his eccentric godmother, a devout Catholic, he read Augustine's Confessions and the Gospel of John. That gospel spoke to him so powerfully that he began to read a daily extract and write commentary on it. Broken, vulnerable, and stripped of his intellectual pride, he became, quote, accessible to my Lord, unquote. It was a fairly short fever, says Mr. Wood. Nowadays an agnostic, Carrère spends the early sections of this book reviewing his almost 3 years as a committed Christian, unquote, from Paul is Dead by James Wood. We learn that he wrote The Kingdom about the rise of early Christianity largely to come to terms with this experience. He's drawn to Paul, who also experienced a conversion, to help him understand it. Quoting Wood again in this article being reviewed, in a sparkling, unexpected digression, there are many such in this book, he mentions the science fiction writer Philip K. Dick's fascination with the Stalinist show trials, in which the victims were forced to deny what they had believed their whole lives, and to denounce their earlier selves as unrecognizable monsters. And then, says Mr. Wood, he wheels back to Paul, this terror of the split self, the self who has turned from one pole to its opposite, was largely unknown in the ancient world, Carrère maintains, until Paul's conversion. But because violent, sudden conversion had happened to Paul, he, quote, must have dreaded, more or less consciously, that it could happen to him again, unquote. This, Carrère thinks, is the hidden fear behind Paul's admonition to the Galatians. And that's quoting Mr. Wood, who now quotes Mr. Carrère, quote, the person he once was had become a monster to him, and he had become a monster to the person he once was. If the two could have met, the person he was would have cursed him. he would have prayed to God to let him die, the way the heroes of vampire movies make their friends swear they'll drive a stake through their hearts if they're ever bitten. But that's what they say before it happens. Once contaminated, their only thought is to bite others in turn, in particular those who've come to them with a stake, to make good the promise they've made to the person who no longer exists. I think that Paul's nights must have been haunted by a nightmare of this kind. Unquote from The Kingdom. Perhaps you can feel my long pause here as I wrote that. Just before typing that, I'd been scanning Galatians for the relevant passage, and then the chapter leading into it, Corinthians 2, and the shift from the sublime of Paul to vampires baring their fangs required a moment to wipe the smile off my face. I will not go there. All to say, even a brief scan of this chapter leading into Galatians reveals a significant concern about agents whom Paul calls false apostles. He's very scrupulous about proving with the use of witnesses that the words coming out of his mouth are in fact both his words and his mouth. Quote from the Apostle Paul, "As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion." And I believe that's meaning preempt from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. We're quoting the Apostle Paul from Corinthians. It seems to me we'll be traveling for a while with Paul, that he is another ancestor being suppressed with precious insights that he's been holding for us.
Together.